Council will come to order. Sue, please call the roll.
Adams.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Salzman. Sten. Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Accept report improving bicycle safety in Portland, outlining initial city policy improvements and engineering enhancements undertaken to increase bicycle safety in response to recent tragic bicyclist fatalities.
Commissioner Adams.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the City Council. We initiated the Platinum Bike Master Planning process approximately 2 years ago. It's intended to update the Bike Master Plan, which is reaching a decade in its age. As part of that, we looked at the opportunities for dealing with the right-of-way in the new reality of multimodal, more bicyclists, more pedestrians, and in many cases, more cars as well. In response to the two fatalities of late fall, we convened an ad hoc working group that included representatives of all the stakeholder groups, everybody from AAA to the trucking industry. The mayor is very gracious to have the police bureau there and his staff there as well. Bicyclists, pedestrian advocates, to look at what short-term improvements could be made in various corridors around the city that were experiencing a rapid increase in usage of either one or more modes, and to specifically dig into the tragedies of the two individuals that were killed on their bikes and to try to learn as much as we possibly could from those deaths and to make changes in how we will deal with the right-of-way. So the resolution before you is a report to the City Council, and it focuses, and this is a two-phased approach, it focuses on the engineered solutions, the dialogue between the mayor's office and my office, between the police bureau and the transportation bureau on enforcement policies that will come shortly in the weeks ahead. So today is about a report on the result of these ad hoc group meetings. We had a public forum as well in addition to some group meetings. And the changes before you, although they can be enacted by the traffic engineer on his own prerogative, we thought was important to come to council to get your concurrence as well. We will be making changes to the right-of-way that will be a first for some of the changes will be the first time an American city has sought to implement some of these changes that are intended to improve safety for bicyclists from an engineering perspective. So if Roger and Rob come forward, and they're going to walk us through the handout, the Exhibit A that's in your books. And we'll go very quick. This hearing had to be rescheduled, so we lost a lot of our stakeholders that were part of the ad hoc committee. So, Roger.
Great. My name is Roger Geller. I'm work in the Office of Transportation as the city's bicycle coordinator.
And I'm Rob Birchfield, city traffic engineer.
And I'm just going to quickly just walk us through this report and just hit the high points. And you're all aware that bicycle ridership in the city is increasing dramatically, exponentially, recently. And the good news is also that the crash rate for bicycles is also decreasing. If you take a look at page 5, you see a graph at the top that shows the trend of bike crashes is really dropping. However, at the same time, there are obviously still bike crashes and fatalities. And in response to the recent fatalities last fall, we took a look at the most common types of bike crashes, and we found that the right hook crash, the crash where a cyclist is hit by a motorist turning right at an intersection, is the most common type of reported bicycle crash. And in fact, those were the crashes that killed two cyclists and seriously injured a third. And it's also a source of common complaints. I hear a lot in my job of people complaining about close calls that don't result in crashes. And so we wanted to address this type of crash, and this lays out a couple of different ways that we're doing it. We identified 14 intersections around the city that were of particular concern to cyclists, and these were identified in three different ways. First was cyclists who, at the June 2006 Bike Summit, told us what they considered to be the most dangerous intersections in the city and told us what the conflicts were that they experienced. And so we had a pretty good working list to start with that identified right-hook type crashes. We also, as part of the Bike Master Plan process, have held open houses last June 2007, where we had more feedback. And we also had consultants who were looking quite closely at the intersections in the city's bikeways and identifying other problem other problem intersections, and also staff knowledge. And with these things combined, we developed a list of what we consider to be the 14 worst intersections for this type of conflict. We designed a treatment in response. And as Commissioner Adams mentioned, it is an innovative treatment for North America, particularly both in its design and in the scope at which we'll be implementing it, but it's a quite common treatment in some of the bicycle-friendly cities that you see around the world. And really, the emphasis or the focus of this treatment is to make everybody aware of cyclists at the intersection. It's to draw motorists' attention to the presence of cyclists and to clearly define a space where cyclists will be. That's really the engineering end of it. We also need and are preparing a educational component. In transportation, we think about the three E's, engineering, education, and enforcement. And typically, we focused on engineering. With this project, it's really a first of its kind for us in that we're really working to integrate all three of those, the engineering, the education, and the enforcement. And I think a fourth E is something we'll also be focusing on, which is evaluation. We are going to be working with partners at Portland State University to evaluate the effectiveness of this treatment. And we'll also be applying to Federal Highway Administration to conduct this as a formal experiment. So that's sort of a very rough overview of the bicycle treatments. One of the other treatments that is proposed in this package is to retrofit the city's fleet of trucks, again, to a more common design that's found in Europe. The two fatalities that occurred, contributing factors included the fact that these were very large trucks, the bodies rode high, and that allowed cyclists to get swept underneath them when there was the initial crash. Had they been passenger vehicles, they may have very well been hit, the cyclists, but probably wouldn't have been run over and killed as a result. So we're going to be retrofitting the city's fleet of trucks, of the high-body trucks, with these guards that don't allow either pedestrians or cyclists or even smaller cars to be swept underneath them. And again, that's a design that is found on many European trucks.
So, if I can interrupt you there, is that you're not just talking about PDOT trucks, but all city fleet trucks?
I think we identified there weren't very many, and so I think it was Water Bureau trucks as well as PDOT. Yeah, it's the city fleet.
That's what I was going to ask. Yes.
Most of the trucks in the fleet, I think, already had most of this hardware on them. In addition to the side guards, there's also additional mirrors.
Right, mirrors.
So it was just kind of completing. City Fleet was already doing, I believe, a good job of recognizing this as a safety issue and providing for those features.
I just wanted to make sure we were talking about the whole fleet, not just the people.
Yeah, it's the whole fleet. Yeah, those things that we have control over.
Okay.
One of the areas that interested me, and I know you're not through your presentation yet, but I noticed the aspheric mirrors. Are we testing those out? Do we have any on any of the, for instance, police cars or fire trucks or some of these bigger trucks?
I'm not aware that we do, but that was something that we wanted to focus on, was eliminating the blind spots around the trucks as much as possible. So we'll be looking to retrofit the trucks with mirrors that do that. And what's been interesting about this whole issue and the focus that it's brought is that we've had line employees at the Maintenance Bureau step up and offer to do trainings, because the other side of the coin is letting cyclists know about how significant the blind spots are on these trucks. And we're going to have employees bringing some of these large trucks to events that we run in the spring, summer, and fall, so that cyclists can actually sit in the cab and see how difficult it is for somebody driving one of these trucks to see them in a blind spot.
I'd be very interested in getting some of those aspheric mirrors.
Aspheric
mirrors and putting them on different equipment in the city to see how it works, because it seems like that the blind spot is a big issue in traffic accidents.
Absolutely, particularly in these type.
One of the policy options that we looked at was, could we require it on vehicles that are operating within the city, to take it even one step further? And the city attorney concluded that we were preempted by state law being able to require that, but it might be something that we'd put in our legislative package for the next state legislative session. It is, in terms of the required mirrored package for large vehicles, it's much more comprehensive in Europe.
There's some really good ideas in here, and I certainly like to see them followed up on. So,
thank you, Mr.
Do you want to go through some of the engineered on-the-ground solutions? And
yeah, I'll mention that the locations that Roger described are shown on page 12, or listed on page 12. So there's the 14 locations or intersections that we plan to provide for treatment. We are well along with the design of the treatments for those locations. There's only one location at this time. I think we're coming up with treatments that are going to be applicable to all 14 locations. And the treatment consists of kind of two elements. There's something we're describing as a bike box. It's a place where at the intersection, as the bicycle approaches the intersection, there'll be a colored area.
Page 11, right?
Page 11. There'll be a colored area which is distinguished by the stop bar at the back of the box and the edge of the sidewalk at the front of the box. And this is an area where the cyclists can queue, and they'll be placed in a position where they'll be forward of the vehicles then. That has two advantages for the cyclist. Probably the most important one related to the right hook is it makes them visible to that car. Rather than being potentially at the side where they may not be visible, they'll be slightly forward of the vehicle, so they'll be visible, and therefore a vehicle that's turning right will recognize that they have a potential conflict. The other advantage it gives the cyclist is it gives them some measure of priority. They're able to move away from the intersection first, ahead of the cars, and that also helps put them in a position where they're less likely to have conflict with vehicles that are turning. The other element is this colored bike lane area, which we're incorporating along with the bike box to indicate an area where there's potential conflict between the turning vehicles and cyclists. And so it helps identify the conflict area both for the motorists and the cyclists, helps draw their awareness that this is an area where they may have conflicts. And again, through the signing, the signs that we'll put on the street to go along with this, it'll give a clear indication to motorists that they're to yield to cyclists when they're turning right across these conflict areas.
You know, that's very important, because when I bike on 39th and Clinton, there's a bike box. Yeah. And because there's no signage explaining things, people really don't know how to use that particular intersection on the west side of the street.
Yeah. I think that, the history of that, it is that the example you described there, it is a bike box, but we kind of made a feeble attempt at its installation, I would say, and we didn't really do any education and haven't done any enforcement along with it. So this more pervasive implementation with the colored markings, along with a campaign to educate people about how to behave in these situations, and some follow-up enforcement, I think we're hoping that provides a more effective...
And some signage at the scene. I think you referenced that earlier.
Yeah. We'll have signs that tell vehicles to stop, where to stop. We'll put pavement markings that tell them to wait here. We'll have overhead signing that indicates that they can't turn right on a red light. So it should be very well communicated to the motorists what their responsibilities are.
And it is, I think that last portion, I wanted to make sure that we got out there and we, during our public forum and meetings with stakeholders, is part of what the public needs to understand, that where they either see it signed or in this case at the bike boxes, there will be no right turn on red light.
And most of these locations are in busy central city locations where there's not a lot of opportunities to turn right on red because there's conflicting traffic. And there's also usually a lot of conflicting pedestrians. So there are some advantages for pedestrians as well to having that restriction on right turns.
So did I hear Commissioner Adams right? You couldn't turn right only on a red.
Only on a red light, yeah. You'd have
to turn right when it's green, not on red.
Green.
Right. Sorry.
And they'll be marked that way, no right turn on red.
Yes, they'll be signed that way, yes.
So if you look at just I think the mayor's point is really good. On page 9, you have a picture of the Clinton Street bike box, Clinton and 39, and I think it is absolutely a well-intentioned but under-engineered and feeble attempt at trying to create this. I also think that what we sort of discussed in our planning for this is to have, instead of just one in the whole city, sort of out in the middle of the neighborhood on its own, not really well marked, that employing these in the central business district on both sides of the river where you have 14 intersections is going to be a lot more effective in sort of educating people what they're about. I also failed to mention my introductory comments that council did set aside in the bump process the money to implement this program already. Do you want to talk any more? We covered equipment. Do you want to talk, starting on page 17, just very quickly, the education programs and a lot of the stuff is work underway?
Right. A lot of the work that we're doing is work underway. You know, we've got the again, it's the education programs that we're doing. It's a combination of engineering as well as education. And so we have programs like the Community School and Traffic Safety Partnership, which has been funding safety improvements for pedestrians, cyclists, and motorists around the city now for a number of years. And these are generally, the engineering fixes are relatively small in scale, things like median refuges to allow you to cross the street, filling in bike lane gaps where they exist. But they're pretty big in terms of the population that they serve. You know, just curb extensions or median refuges for crossing collector streets make a huge difference. And this is a partnership that is a multi-agency, multi-bureau partnership, and it's been going on for quite some time. We also have a number of campaigns that we run under I Share the Road, encouragement and education programs about the importance of sharing the road. We have the Share the Road Safety Class, which is essentially a diversion class that cyclists, it's very similar to motorist diversion classes when a motorist is stopped for generally minor traffic infraction, they have an opportunity to attend a class and become educated. And we're offering the same things now to cyclists as a diversion for when they are ticketed. We also have the Safer Routes to School program, which is currently in 25 schools and is teaching basically good transportation safety behavior to school children. So it's not just bikes. It's also how to be a good pedestrian, how to use transit, how to ride a bicycle, and it's also giving hands-on training. So on a Friday afternoon in the spring, summer, or fall, you can often see large groups of kids being led around by just a couple of adult trainers, and that's generally going to be a Safer Routes to School program.
And then specific to this project, we are now working on basically an education or outreach element in which we're going to try to communicate to motorists and to cyclists how to use these new treatments. And so we are looking at a number of media opportunities or media types of media. We may have some billboards that are co-located with where these treatments are going to go in. We're looking at putting some basically signs that educate people as to what they're supposed to do close to or in the right-of-way, close to the locations where these our devices will be implemented. So we're going to do the best job we can to help people understand what this new treatment is, how it's intended for their use, so that they don't come away with a confusion and a feeling that, you know, we're just experimenting wildly. But hopefully this will come across to them as something that's well-engineered, well-planned, and easy, intuitive for them to respond to.
And then, you know, we have some longer-term educational goals that we'd like to achieve. And one of the partners that was working with us around the table to address this issue were representatives from Department of Motor Vehicles. So we think it's very important that we introduce into the DMV training curriculum some idea of what Portland is doing and what some of these treatments that we're using here in the metropolitan region mean and how motorists should respond to them. So one of our long-term goals is to continue to work with Department of Motor Vehicles and be able to alter their curriculum a little bit to reflect what's going on in Portland.
So, for example, the test for those with Portland addresses could include a series that's more focused on the urban realities of transportation as opposed to a smaller town.
Right. And we'd also like to get diversion program curriculum, the Share the Road safety class curriculum, up into a web-based format so that people can access that without having to first get a ticket. And we've kicked around some ideas about how we could make that attractive to people to take. But, you know, there's just a lot of basic knowledge about bicycles and cars that people don't have. That it's very simple stuff. It's just people need to hear about it.
So that was as much of a presentation as we had planned. Do you have any other questions? We just have a few people that want to testify.
We have Chris Smith asked to testify.
I don't even need my glasses to see his name.
Yeah, you got a name tag on.
Wow.
You know what the obnoxiously large name tag means.
He's a big name tag.
Mayor Potter, members of council, I am, for the record, Chris Smith. I'm the authorized representative of the Streetcar Citizens Advisory Committee. I'm also a member of the Platinum Bicycle Plan, Bicycle Master Plan Committee, but I am here speaking for myself today. I had an experience a couple of years ago. I had the opportunity to take a trip to the Netherlands with a delegation from Portland, and a member of Commissioner Adam Staff and I met with some freight folks in the Netherlands, and those of you who follow the development of our bicycle plan here in Portland know that there's sometimes been friction with the freight community about installing bicycle lanes in freight districts. So I asked the folks from the Netherlands, well, do you have bike lanes in your freight districts? And their answer was, well, of course, how else would our employees get to work? I think what we're seeing here today is a paradigm-changing moment, and we're starting to see cycling and safety considerations around cycling take a new level of awareness, I think, in all parts of the community, and I'm just delighted to see this. I think we're taking the first step towards that kind of attitude that we saw in the Netherlands. So I want to congratulate the group that Commissioner Adams has pulled together to work on this. I'm absolutely delighted to support this, but I also want to underscore that I think the education component is so important. I had the pleasure or maybe the pain of being the primary person that my two stepchildren got their practical experience driving with after they completed driver's education. And one of my favorite things to do to them was every time they made a right turn without checking the bike lane, say, oops, killed another cyclist. It is something that we all have to focus on, our responsibility to understand the other users of the road around us. Frankly, the state materials don't do a very good job of that, and I know that we're pushing to have that modified. But the education component is absolutely essential, as is the enforcement component. It's important that the police be a full partner in making the overall program work. I'm delighted by the first steps that have happened along those lines as part of this. It's unfortunate it took these incidents to drive this forward, but as I said, I think this is the beginning of a paradigm change here, taking us to the next level, and I welcome it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris, and thanks for your work on this.
No one else signed up. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, forgive me for my lack of protocol. I'm not quite sure.
Excuse me, would you state your name for the record?
My name is Michael Aiello. Okay, 3 minutes should be more than sufficient. Forgive me for my lack of familiarity with this process. I had been under the impression that today's open hearing might cover a broader topic concerning some of the other things that will be going on with the Inner Powell development, but perhaps I'm mistaken.
That was yesterday.
Okay. So with today's topic, I would like to just add something in regards to bicycle safety. And I've bounced this concern off of a number of different, the ODOT meetings, the MAX meetings that have been happening. The train or the rail bridge on 17th, Southeast 17th, that crosses over Powell, there are some dangerous switchbacks for both pedestrians and for cyclists. And it seems as though there's a lot of buck passing going on. I'm not sure whose jurisdiction it is, actually. I know this isn't quite as severe as being hit by a car, but there are some rather steep inclines and rather sharp turns, hairpin turns, and blind spots. And so I've been trying for a while to figure out how to actually get some convex mirrors placed, and I'm not quite sure how to go about doing that. So I missed the meeting I thought I was coming to yesterday, but while we're talking about bike safety and pedestrian safety, if that shows up on any of these handouts that you have, that rail bridge does pose some threats to both pedestrians and cyclists. And if it's possible that could be looked into prior to the MAX line going through in 8 years, that would be fantastic. Otherwise, thanks for having me here, and I'd like to thank everyone involved with the work that's going on. The cyclist community really appreciates the work.
Thank you.
I think we did just talk about that, the Powell Bridge. We did talk about that quite a bit, and bicycle safety. My recollection is there was something about mirrors.
Yeah. Yes, they're going to install some mirrors so that as you're approaching one of the sharp turns, you'll be able to see if there's somebody.
Fantastic. On.
And we're also going to look at, we're going to look at some additional lighting for that because it's poorly lit.
Yes. Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams.
I just want to thank the team for getting this done and getting it done very quickly. And I want to underscore that this is very much an emergency implementation of improvements in the right-of-way in the central city. And it is inadequate to improving bicycle and pedestrian and automobile safety citywide. Council will have the first hearing at 2 p.m. on January 9th for the Safe, Sound, and Green Street initiative and a consideration of a vote on January 16th. That will provide much more comprehensive public safety, transportation safety improvements citywide for bicyclists, pedestrians, and automobiles. But this is something that we can do quickly, and it's very important work. And again, I want to thank the team and Roland Schapowski and Tom Miller and my staff for their work on this. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, I'm deeply impressed by the speed with which Commissioner Adams and PDOT has worked on this to develop real safety devices to assist bikers. Deeply saddening to the entire community that these two incidents occurred, causing two bikers to lose their life. But I also think that in years past, we would have had a mourning period and moved on, and nothing would have changed. So I'm hoping the community recognizes that Commissioner Adams, PDOT, Mayor Potter came together and developed a real plan to address specific safety issues. And I certainly recognize that and appreciate it deeply. Thank you all for your work. Aye.
Sten.
Well, I agree. I want to thank Commissioner Adams and Mayor Potter and the team at Transportation. The roads are getting more crowded, and we have a lot more bikes. And so it's very interesting because my perception is that we're having more crashes because we've had such tragic ones. And at the same time, the percentage is down because we have more people. And so I think we have to – I think you're just doing the only thing we can do, and I'm really excited about it, which is to keep trying to get it. I mean, no deaths is where we have to get, and more bicyclists and no deaths. And I think we can get there. And I think, you know, I think it is a big change for – drivers to have this many cyclists on the road. I mean, I think anyone who drives, driven in Portland for a long time and is honest will say that they've been driving and found a bike where there didn't used to be one. And if you've driven, like I've driven down Northeast Broadway for, you know, 20 years and there were hardly any bikes. And then occasionally, you know, I had a close call one time and it was my fault. The bike was someplace that it didn't used to be before there's a bike lane. And so I think we all have a lot of work to do on it. And there's no easy way to do it, but I like what you're doing, and I also like Commissioner Adams' commitment to putting the amount of money in the budget that's equal to the amount of bikes we have and to keep pushing that up. And I also think that the most important thing is the bicyclists themselves' safety and the community safety. It's secondary, but I also think we're plowing some real ground here because we're not going to be able to use cars like we used to. And I think it's terrific that we're out ahead of that. So good work, and it's a pleasure to vote aye.
Potter.
I was reading an article on biking and talking about the fact that in Amsterdam they have a 35% bike use for going to back and forth to work, and we're a little under 5%. So we got a tremendous amount of opportunity here to use even greater use of bikes for transportation. And I think these are the kind of things that are the really good steps to start moving towards the understanding of the responsibility between vehicles and bicyclists about how to use the street safely. I remember as a young police officer that we were taught, like in traffic engineering, the three E's were engineering, enforcement, and education. And I think that that we've also added over the years evaluation, but also engagement. I think engagement is sort of the active stage of education, where you're really talking to people about their issues, but also educating them about the other issues. And when I'm out driving, I see good examples and bad examples of both vehicular drivers and bicyclists. And unfortunately, each tends to view the other often as the problem, when in fact it is a shared responsibility. The kind of equipment solutions, technical engineering issues, I think are going to go a long ways towards reducing those accidents and possibly those fatalities. So I really appreciate the effort of Commissioner Adams' office, and my commitment is to make sure the police bureau provides the proper enforcement. So. Good job, everybody, and I want to thank you for a great start on improving bicycle safety in the city of Portland. Aye. We're adjourned until next week.
Not too painful, is it?
That was.
Yeah.
We should move our all meetings for a week.
Yeah.